Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this video, I want to provide you with an update on Turkey. Now, if you've been following the channel, you'll know that we have regular updates on the situation in Turkey, looking at the economy, inflation, the reserves, all of the constituent parts. But obviously, the big news coming out of Turkey over the last few days are the devastating earthquakes that have hit the country. So in today's episode, we'll have a look at those earthquakes. We'll talk about the fault lines that sit underneath Turkey, look at what's happened in the history in terms of previous earthquakes, and then look at what the impact of these quakes has been and what it's likely to be over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. We'll then go on to talk about what's happening with inflation, because we've got the latest data now for January, and the figures have come in higher than expected. So we'll go through that and we'll dig down into the detail and look at what's happening with food inflation and transport inflation, which are really important to everybody in Turkey. And as well as looking at the official inflation data, we'll also have a look at what Enerjisa is saying, because these are the guys who are doing their own research. They're monitoring thousands of prices to provide an alternative figure, and that figure is significantly higher. We'll then go on to talk about what's happening with trade and the current account and the currency. I'll then give you an update on the latest situation with regards to Sweden and Finland's application to join NATO, which Turkey has been blocking. And also we'll have a look at the final figures for tourism for 2022, which was actually a good year from Turkey's perspective. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen in Turkey over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, and what the impact of this will be on the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters. So if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube, super thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel, because it's helped me to buy this sign.
Saat 04:17'de son bir asırda yaşadığımız 1939 Erzincan depreminden sonraki.
In the early hours of Monday, the 6th of February, 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck Gaziantep whilst most people were asleep. And whilst the rescue efforts from the impact of that earthquake were starting, a second earthquake of 7.5 magnitude hit at 1:30 p.m. local time. And the magnitude of this second shock indicates that it was not an aftershock, it was actually a second earthquake. Now, the first of these earthquakes took place close to the Syrian border, and as a result, there have been devastating implications for both Turkey and Syria. At the time of making this video, it's been reported that more than 5,000 people have died, with around 3,400 deaths in Turkey and over 1,600 in Syria. Alongside the reported deaths, there have also been more than 15,000 reported injuries. However, these figures are likely to rise significantly over the course of the next week or so. This map shows the underlying reason for the earthquakes in Turkey, which sits on two fault lines: the North Anatolian Fault, which runs across the majority of the north of the country, and the East Anatolian Fault, which runs down the eastern side. And just to explain briefly what a fault zone is, it's where two of the plates of the earth crust, known as the tectonic plates, meet and where there can be movement. And when there is movement between the two tectonic plates, that's what results in an earthquake. Now, the circles shown on this map record the major earthquakes that have taken place in Turkey since 1900. And the size of the circle indicates the size of the earthquake. So obviously, the bigger the circle, the bigger the magnitude of the earthquake. And the two circles that are coloured in red show the two earthquakes that took place on February the 6th. And what this map shows is that over the last 122 years, Turkey has experienced more than 70 earthquakes with a magnitude of 6.5 or higher. And this high level of activity and the size of the earthquakes actually mean that Turkey is one of the most seismically active regions in the world. And this chart shows the same data that we've just looked at, but shows the number of deaths related to each of those earthquakes. So the key that we have here is that bigger circles represent more deaths. So what you can see here is that over the last 100 years, Turkey has experienced three major earthquakes that have resulted in a significant amount of loss of life. In 1939, a 7.7 magnitude earthquake resulted in 32,700 deaths. In 1988, a 6.8 magnitude earthquake resulted in 26,000 deaths. And in 1999, a 7.6 magnitude earthquake resulted in 17,118 deaths. So on a comparative basis, the first earthquake that occurred on Monday the 6th of February, which had a magnitude of 7.8, was actually the largest that's been recorded in Turkey over this period. And of course, this was then followed up by a 7.5 magnitude earthquake. So this really highlights the severity of the current situation. We've got two earthquakes, both of which are two of the largest ever recorded in Turkey's history. So at the time of making this video, the situation is still critical. A lot of people are still trapped or trying to be rescued. And it's likely that the death toll will rise, and the economic impact of these earthquakes is likely to be substantial, but very difficult to estimate at this point. This chart shows the movement in inflation in Turkey over the last 12 months. And as you can see, in January, inflation has fallen to 57.7%, which is the lowest figure that we've seen since January 2022. So at face value, this looks like a good result. However, it was expected that inflation would be down to 53% in January. So the actual figure has come in almost 10% higher than expectations. And concerns are now starting to rise that the figures for January have been influenced by a number of political decisions. At the start of January 2023, the Turkish authorities approached retailers and asked that they partially freeze prices ahead of the upcoming elections. Finance Minister Nureddin Nebati asked clothing and shoe stores to launch their discount season well ahead of the usual March period after grocers had done the same. And after almost 6 months of public calls from President Erdogan's government, the country's largest market chains began a month-long price freeze and some cut prices this month. Yavuz Altun, chief executive of 200-store chain Happy Center, said discounts for shoppers will depend on how much more the chain had to pay its suppliers. We could accommodate hikes up to a certain point, however, there is a limit, he said. The pressure on retailers is the latest attempt to rein in price growth without touching interest rates, which President Erdogan insists must be low to bring inflation down. Nebati said earlier this month he was pleased that some market chains had heeded the call for discounts. I'm now calling on all retailers and asking them for similar steps, he said to a business group. Under pressure, Turkey's largest market chains, including A101, BIM, Carrefoursa, Migros and Sok, froze or cut prices on hundreds of products for January. An industry body representing 5,000 local markets then followed suit. However, after years of volatile prices, shoppers want more permanent solutions. Serif Fayat, head of the TOBB Apparel Industry Council, said the aggressive interest rate cuts had boosted demand and may end up driving prices up by 30% rather than cooling them down. Price cuts are not possible, especially now that we are in the run-up to the elections and monetary easing permeates everywhere, he said. After the minimum wage hike, retailers will want to take advantage of this relative increase in purchasing power. They will also want to reflect rising costs in price tags, which they have not done yet. This chart shows the movement in food inflation over the last 12 months. And you can see that the figure for January is now sitting at 71%. Which is the lowest figure that's been seen in Turkey since March 2022. However, 71% is still significantly above the general inflation rate of 58%. And as I've mentioned before on the channel, food inflation is indiscriminate. It impacts on everybody. Everybody has to buy food. And therefore, the poorest members of society are the hardest hit because they're spending a larger percentage of their monthly budget on food. And when food is rising by 71%, then obviously that makes it difficult to be able to keep buying the same amount of food. And generally, it means that if you don't have any savings, you'll have to cut back on the amount that you're actually buying. But the other factor here is also the year-on-year impact. Because if we expand the chart to show the position over the last 5 years, you can see that this time last year, food inflation was rising by around 20%. So when you add 70% onto the 20% growth from the previous year, it means that the cumulative impact is even worse, and that's making things less affordable for the majority of people in Turkey. And as we've just discussed, a lot of the food prices have been kept artificially low in January for political reasons, and even with those measures in place, we're still seeing 71% food inflation. So this isn't keeping things under control. This is actually making things worse for the vast majority of people in Turkey. And this chart shows the movement in transportation costs over the last 12 months. And these figures are actually an index. This isn't a percentage increase, but it still shows a clear trend. And what we can see in January is that the cost of transportation is now at its highest point at any point in the last 12 months. And once again, transportation costs are indiscriminate. Everybody needs transport to get to work or school or whatever it is that you're doing. So the poorest members of society feel it the most economically when the price of transport rises, because between food and transport, the poor people are paying a high percentage of their monthly budget on these absolute essential items. So even though we've seen an overall reduction in the growth of prices, and let's not forget, we haven't actually seen a reduction in prices. What we've seen is a slowdown of the increase of prices, and they're still rising by 58% generally. But when you look at what's happening with regards to food and transport prices, they are still at runaway levels. And this represents a major problem for the vast majority of people in Turkey. And just to put everything into perspective, this chart shows where Turkey currently sits in the G20, which are the 20 largest economies in the world in terms of inflation. Argentina is number one on this chart and has inflation close to 95%, which is absolutely off the scale. If you want to check out what's going on in Argentina, have a look at the video that I posted recently, which talks about the problems that they have in the country and how it's going to be really difficult to be able to turn all of those around. But Turkey is still ranked as the second worst country in the G20 in terms of inflation, and the current rate of 58% is significantly higher than the third ranked country of Russia. And this chart shows where Turkey ranks in the whole of the world. And as you can see, it is the seventh worst country in the world for inflation. The only countries that have higher rates of inflation are Zimbabwe at 230%. Zimbabwe's economy collapsed a number of years ago and is a complete mess. Venezuela, which is heavily sanctioned, which has 156% inflation. Syria, which is a war-torn country, 139%. Lebanon, in a similar situation, 122%. Argentina, we just discussed. And Sudan, which also has war problems, at 87.3%. And I think to really put the problem in Turkey into perspective, you can look at some of the countries that are ranking below Turkey. We've got Sri Lanka, who've had an economic collapse recently. Ghana, who has the worst performing currency in the world. Iran, which is heavily sanctioned, as is Cuba. And then we've got a number of other countries that have got major problems. So this really tells you that the situation in Turkey is still at crisis level and hasn't been solved. Even though inflation has come down a little bit, it is still a major problem. And this is the latest release from Enerjisa, which is a research institution which is monitoring prices independently in Turkey. It's monitoring the daily price of a number of different products that match the basket for the official inflation rate in Turkey. And their independent research shows that they believe that the inflation rate in Turkey over the last 12 months to the end of January is actually running at 121.62%, compared to the rate of 58% that's been officially released. So what this says is that Enerjisa actually believe that inflation is more than double the rate that's being officially published right now. This chart shows the value of monthly exports from Turkey over the last 12 months. And the figures here are shown in millions of US dollars. And as you can see, in January, the total amount of exports was $19.4 billion, which is actually the third worst month out of any of the last 12, and represents a significant drop against the $22.9 billion achieved in December. So this is obviously concerning from Turkey's point of view, because the only way that they're really going to get themselves out of the current problems is by increasing the level of exports, by manufacturing more products, by earning more revenue, and therefore going back into the black. And this chart shows the monthly cost of the imports for Turkey over the last 12 months. And you can see that in January, the total cost of $33.7 billion was actually the highest single month at any time in the last year. And when you look at the trend over the last 12 months, there is a clear and consistent upward increase in the cost of the imports. Now, Turkey is a net importer, and it's having to import large amounts of gas and oil and food. And all of these have become more expensive over the course of the last 12 months. And Turkey is suffering from that. And also it suffers from the fact that the Turkish lira has devalued. And therefore, in the international markets, when they're having to buy things in US dollars, it's costing them more on a real basis. And this chart shows the movement in the balance of trade over the last 12 months. And as you'll hopefully be aware by now, the balance of trade measures the difference between the value of all of your exports and the cost of all of your imports. So basically the difference between what you're spending and what you're receiving. And as you can see, in every single month in the last 12 months, Turkey has had a negative balance of trade. So that means that it's been spending more on imports than it's been receiving for its exports. And that's exactly what we've just seen from the two graphs that we looked at. And when you look at the position for January, it's the single worst month in the last 12 months. Turkey's balance of trade was negative $14.3 billion in the month. And once again, if you look at the trend of what's happening here, there is a consistent downward trend. So the position is getting worse rather than getting better. So this is really bad news from Turkey's perspective. And this is really the crux of the matter from Turkey's perspective, because they only have a limited amount of reserves and they keep drawing on them month on month to keep funding all of the imports. And at some point, they will get to the stage where they haven't got enough reserves left to be able to pay those bills. Now, the Turkish authorities are doing things like putting swap transactions in place with various countries to bolster these reserves. But as this graph highlights, they're constantly dipping into those reserves to pay for the negative balance of trade. Turkey have confirmed that they are positive on Finland's application for NATO membership, but does not support Sweden's bid. In a recent address to the AK party in Turkey, President Erdogan stated, "Our position on Finland is positive, but it is not positive on Sweden. Sweden should not bother to try at this point. We will not say yes to their NATO application, as long as they allow burning of the Quran. In response to this, Sweden's foreign minister said there could be no compromise over freedom of speech, but that Sweden would continue to implement the Madrid Agreement, which relates to the agreement that Sweden, Finland and Turkey reached in June 2022 in Madrid. However, since that initial agreement, Turkey have unexpectedly blocked the applications from Sweden and Finland due to allegations of harbouring terrorists. Turkey wants Helsinki, and Stockholm in particular, to take a tougher line against the Kurdistan Workers' Party, also known as the PKK, which is considered a terrorist group by Turkey and the European Union, as well as another group it blames for the 2016 coup attempt in Turkey. President Erdogan has recently signalled that Turkey could agree to Finland joining NATO ahead of Sweden, but Finland's foreign minister has confirmed that they are sticking to the plan to apply jointly with Sweden. The application requires unanimous approval from all NATO members, and of the 30 members, only Turkey and Hungary are yet to ratify the Nordic countries' membership. In terms of the question as to whether or not Turkey has other goals in blocking the accession, some commentators have said that President Erdogan's stance could be an attempt to divert voters' attention away from the cost of living crisis and to project an image of an international statesman. Whilst other reports have stated that Turkey is looking to use the NATO ratifications as part of a deal with the United States, as relations are currently strained between the two countries and Turkey is looking to buy F-16 fighter jets. In terms of the question as to why NATO is happy for Sweden and Finland to join, both have relatively strong militaries. Finland has the capacity to mobilise 285,000 personnel and 650 tanks, and Sweden has a strong air force and submarine fleet tailored to Baltic Sea conditions. Strategically, the two countries plug a hole in NATO's front line against Russia, whilst enabling the alliance to project power into the Baltic area. So would it be feasible for Finland to join NATO without Sweden? Well, from a technical perspective, yes, but defending Finland without strategic land access via Sweden would be difficult for NATO. Now, I've seen a variety of comments over the last few months saying that Turkey could be expelled from NATO. However, there is no formal mechanism for the suspension or expulsion of members in NATO's founding document, and Turkey is considered a vital strategic ally. So what's likely to happen next? Well, the most likely outcome over the next few months is that nothing is going to happen because we're in the run into Turkey's elections, which will either be held in May or June. The final date hasn't been agreed. And until the election is done and dusted, it's highly likely that Turkey will continue to block Sweden's entry. However, even when we get past the elections, progress could still be painfully slow, and full implementation of the Madrid Agreement could take years. And Sweden has actually said that some of Turkey's demands are impossible to meet. So as it stands at the moment, it's hard to say when or if this process will ever be concluded. Turkey's tourism revenue hit a record $46.3 billion in 2022, even as its trade deficit swelled to more than $109 billion. Revenue from tourists jumped by 53% compared with 2021 and blew past the previous high of $34.5 billion in 2019 before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Foreign arrivals totaled 44.6 million people in 2022, which was just below the 2019 peak of 45.1 million. And in terms of which countries those tourists are coming from, German tourists are once again ranked at number one. However, Russian tourists are now the second most populous type. And by the end of 2022, more than 5 million Russians had visited the country, which is 6.2% more than the same period in 2021, but around 30% less than in 2019. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video to give you an update on what's happening in the Turkish economy. But obviously, I couldn't overlook what had happened earlier this week with regards to the two enormous earthquakes. And I think it's quite a surprise to most people that Turkey does lie in such a seismically active area. And there have been lots and lots of earthquakes over the last 100 years or so. But the two that have struck almost simultaneously are two of the biggest that have ever hit Turkey. And the fact that they came one after the other means that there's going to be real devastation. We've already seen tragic loss of life, and it's likely that those numbers will rise significantly over the course of the next few weeks. And obviously, there will be a lot of aid going into the country. A lot of people will be going to help. They'll need a lot of financial aid. They'll need to rebuild all of those areas that have been affected. And unfortunately, it will represent further bad news for the economy. There'll need to be a rebuilding exercise. People have lost their lives. There will be losses of jobs. There'll be losses of livelihoods, and it will have a negative impact on the economy. But moving on to the economic figures for January, what we've seen is that inflation has continued to come down. So at face value, that is good news, that inflation is now moving in the right direction. but it's still at an extremely high level. 58%, as we saw, is one of the highest rates of inflation anywhere in the world. That is not sustainable. The people of Turkey have not received pay rises of 58% over the last 12 months. So that means that cost of living has gone up and their standard of living has gone down. And for the poorest members of society, they are struggling the most. And as we saw, food inflation is still above 70%. And transportation costs are now at their highest point at any point in the last 12 months. So this is really putting a lot of pressure on people with low incomes because they're having to spend money on food and transportation and they've basically got nothing left to do anything else with. And it's a very difficult position to get out of. And as we saw, the inflation figures have actually been manipulated slightly because the authorities have asked all of the supermarkets to keep their prices low in January ahead of the forthcoming election. So this doesn't actually represent long-term progress. All it means is that the authorities have told people to hold back on the price increases. So it's likely that we will see inflation bouncing back up again at some point over the next few months once these artificial prices are released and we go back to market rates. So actually what we're seeing from the January data isn't really telling us that things are getting better in Turkey. All it's saying is that the figures have been played around with so that it looks on paper as if there's been an improvement. And when you look at what's going on with regards to trade, that really tells us the story. So what we saw in January is that exports were at their third lowest level at any point in the last 12 months. So that's obviously bad news. And imports are now at their highest level. So obviously that net difference results in a large differential. And that's why the balance of trade is now at its highest point at any time in the last year. And all of this is really bad news because it's showing us that Turkey isn't getting itself out of this situation. Turkey needs to limit the amount of imports and increase its exports so that it can go into a positive position from the balance of trade and start building up its reserves. But at the moment, it's experiencing a huge deficit, and that means it's having to dig into its reserves. And at some point, those reserves will run out, and Turkey won't be able to keep buying anything in the international markets. And it will then be dependent upon trading relationships and asking all of its trading partners for credit. And that's a position that Turkey does not want to get itself into. So the overall summary from today's video is that although inflation has come down, it hasn't come down for the right reasons, and there are still fundamental problems in Turkey right now. Until it sorts out its trade position and increases its exports, it won't be able to improve its own situation, and it's likely that position will get worse. And of course, if that does happen, then that will be bad news for the global economy, because as I've said a million times before, everybody's interconnected these days. So there's a lot of countries who are trading with Turkey. If Turkey does get to the point where it can't afford to pay for any more of its imports, then that would have a knock-on impact to the global economy and make things worse at some point in 2023. As always, I will keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they arise. If you've liked what I've said in today's video, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.